Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Paris.
Well, Matt, I've got a question. You have no idea what I'm getting ready to ask you.
These always just make me pucker.
They make you a little nervous, don't they?
I get a little tingly and not in the good ways.
Now, these are characters. These are not like in real life people that I'm asking about. Like these are characters in a show. These are people in
tracking,
a show.
Tracking with you. Is it Olivia Benson?
Do you know who Conrad and Jeremiah are?
I think they were two of the brothers from Seven Brothers in the 1957 MGM classic.
If anybody younger than 30 listens to this podcast, they are howling right
now. That's all I got. I think they're two brothers on Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
When you said two brothers, I'm like, oh my gosh, she knows who they are. Well, you got the two brothers right. They're the two brothers that are on The Summer I Turned Pretty. You know, she falls in love.
I don't know anything. What are you talking about? This is Chinese to me. The Summer I Turned Pretty? Who's watching this? What is this? Okay, what are you talking about?
I can't believe that I'm introducing you. I'm telling you about a show when you told me I'd never heard of Law and Order SVU, and you were the one that told me about it. And
in 2007.
Listen, you are totally outing yourself that you have small children and you are not watching what
a lot of people are watching. What is Jeremiah and Conrad?
Well, I would compare it to like an Outer Banks type show.
What's that? Is this MTV? Is this like an MTV reality show?
It's like they're
the Outer Banks. They follow people on vacations.
Oh, it's like a teen drama show. Okay.
This means nothing.
Like 90210. What was that show? Dawson's Creek. Back in the day. It's like those shows.
Yeah, don't
so do that. So The Summer I Turned Pretty is about a girl. Her name is Belly, and she falls in love with two brothers. Like she falls in love with
both them.
She falls in love with
this
Conrad.
This sounds like some weird stuff.
She falls in love with Conrad. Well, she. Yes, she loves both of them. And, you know, it's based on a book. And I just wondered if you knew who Conrad and Jeremiah were.
I don't know. I know Conrad Birdie from Bye Bye Birdie and Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Oh,
boom, boom, boom. That's what
I got
for you.
Okay, what's your good day?
Here's my good day. We did some last hurrahs recently with the kids before school started.
Okay.
And one of them that we did... I think we might have a connection to this. So here's what we did with the kids. Mallory and I were like, the kids have been in the car a lot this summer. And so they were like, we want to do something close.
Okay.
So we honored that. Okay. But we also wanted to do things we were interested in as well. So we hauled the kids up and we took them to Hartville Flea Market.
Hartville Flea Market. If you are listening.
Hartville's got something special going on. They got themselves... a little marketplace. Mm-hmm. They got the kitchen with mm-hmm. that sweet and sour dressing mm-hmm. and they have their hardware store. They have a really, really cool place. So here's what we did. It was a Saturday. We gave the kids each $10 and we were like, you can buy whatever you want. Whatever you want for $10, this is what you're doing. So we go to the flea market. And if you're not familiar with the flea market, it's boothy booths where there might be like vegetable stand next to like a vinyl records person, next to like a knife guy.
Next to a Tupperware sales lady.
Next, mm-hmm. there was a Pampered mm-hmm. Chef
sure,
booth.
Of course there was.
But my kids, of course, found the Beanie Baby booth. Now, mind you, I saved my Beanie Babies because I thought, listen, I have the Princess Diana Beanie Baby with the plastic heart over the tag.
You're waiting, aren't you?
And when my mom was giving us stuff away, me and my sister, I screamed when I found it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to pay for our kids' college. Because back in the day, you thought when you got the Beanie Baby, it's worth nothing. None of it's worth
anything.
Maybe
one day it will be.
So we go up to this Beanie Baby booth, and this lady is like, These are my husbands and his ex-wives. They collected Beanie Babies in the 90s, and we just want to get rid of them. So we got Beanie Babies for like $2.
Gosh, that's so funny. So and our I bet the kids were so excited to get Beanie Babies. Do you still have your Beanie Babies?
I do. They're in a plastic tub.
So why aren't you giving them to your kids and showing them?
Well, the funny thing
is, why are you getting them
out? We did at one point, and then they were like, meh. But they just got re-excited about them.
Maybe you can get those out of the tub and show them your Princess Diana Beanie Baby.
Slide into my DMs if you know what I can do with the Beanie Babies that would be better than
$2.
Is anybody
like emptying them and making blankets out of them or something?
What?
Something bizarre.
Like ripping their guts out? You're disgusting.
Sewing them together?
You're gross.
Okay, my good day. Listen, this is hard. I'm going to share a good couple days. End one.
Okay.
Make it one day. And then next week, I'm going to share my other good day, which is Emma had her bachelorette party. Mm. And we need that to be a podcast where we take that good day and we make it a podcast.
Yeah,
about friendship, about new family, about celebration.
Yes.
So that's going to be next week's good day. Yeah. I'm just going to preface next week by saying that. But this week I'm going to talk about, I had the opportunity via Compassion International to go to Nashville, Tennessee, and to learn more about compassion. Do you know about compassion? Do you know about compassion? Do you know
let me tell you the limited knowledge that I know.
Okay.
Back in the 90s and early 2000s, I worked the Christian concert circuit. We saw FFH.
Yes,
we saw Stephen Curtis Chapman, all the people, Michael W. Smith. We saw them all. And in the middle of the concerts, during like the right before the intermission, somebody would get up and they would say, sponsor a child, blah, blah, blah. And then they'd pass the cards around. Yes. And Mallory and I did it for a while.
Yes.
Our person aged out.
Daryl and I did too.
Yeah.
But did you know that one of their biggest donors is Michael W. Smith?
I did not know that.
Michael W. Smith. And the first child.
You know what? Michael W. Smith, if you are listening,
like shout
change
out.
The world. Like friends
I'm
are friends
serious.
Forever if the Lord's the Lord
I
of
mean,
them.
One thing amazing though, Matt, is that the first child he sponsored, they have remained in contact and friends. And he went to where she lives and she's in her 40s now with a family.
That's cool.
And it's just, I'm so impressed.
That's so
I
cool.
encourage you to Google compassion and to really just research and look into them because I'm just so impressed. I'm impressed with their leadership. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed that the countries they're in, the offices that are ran there are ran by local people.
Mm-hmm. And you did a little investigation before you went on this trip because you were like, I can't saddle up with something that's like giving monies to big CEOs and not the people.
And I don't want to feel like the child's getting 40% of the money and running operations and administrations are getting 60% of the money. It's actually 90% of what you give goes directly to that child.
That's awesome.
And 10% goes to administration and running of compassion.
Yeah.
They're set up well. There's that third party out there that grades nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And the only way that I knew about them is through Sharon McMahon. Love her. Is the World Kitchen is graded by them as well. And Compassion is graded by this third party that, you know, basically looks at nonprofits and grades them.
Right.
And Compassion has had an A for I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
I love that.
My good day was just going to Nashville. I got a hotel room by myself. I don't even know when the last
time. What do you do?
Oh, you just prop the pillows. You just get
stuff.
Oh, yes.
Do you get room service?
Yes, I just do it all.
Do you use
the robe? I stand in that shower. I mean, I just live it up by myself in that hotel room.
Are you comfortable using the hotel robes?
I don't use the hotel robes. No.
No?
No. No.
I think I would.
I take my own little jams and my own little robe that I like. Hotel rooms tend to be too heavy for me.
Okay.
I like a light robe, Maddie.
Oh. I apologize for not knowing your robe preferences. But maybe if I did, that would be a problem in and of itself. Hey, we have a segment that's newer to us. We've only done it once.
No, we've done it twice.
We've done it twice?
Yeah, we've done it twice.
But here it is. It's this is what grinds my gears.
What grinds my gears?
Listen,
what grinds my gears?
I was my gears were grinding the other day because it happened and I forgot that it happened. And now I'm questioning if I already said this one, but I'll say it again. And if I said it, stop me. Stop me.
Stop
that
me.
That was very Dutchy.
Stop me.
Stop me. Somebody stop me. Okay, this is what grinds my gears. And I apologize because I think this is going to be a lot of people. I think I've done it. I probably still do it sometimes, but it still grinds my gears.
Okay, what is it?
It grinds my gears when I go to the gas station and there are vacant cars at every pump. Like somebody pumped the gas and went in to get a drink.
I can't even.
When
I can't stand it.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like
this is one
of
yours too.
Get in the car and pull it up to your part. Pull up to the
same
place.
Same. I'm trying to teach my kids this. I think we're gonna start a revolution.
Why are you pumping your gas, going in, going to the bathroom, getting a drink, and then running into your neighbor and standing at the door talking?
Oh my gosh.
While I am waiting.
I didn't know. I didn't know that you also felt like this. I tried to go to the gas station and I kid you not, there were 8 pumps and 7 of them had vacant, empty cars. And I had to like shimmy into a thing because nobody moved their cars. And
well,
all these people were coming out.
This?
I stood there and put my gas and I watched people come out with their drinky drinks and they're like
it's
rotating
okay.
Taquitos
okay.
and their gas station pizza.
It's okay if you need to do that, but just pull up into a space.
Girl. We are kindred spirits.
Grinds my gears.
That is one of my biggest complaints about Buc-ee's. Like, I know everyone loves Buc-ee's, but here's the thing. If there's 80 pumps and 74 of them have vacant cars,
yes.
I don't want to go
then
there.
And they're in there shopping.
They're just they're getting that beef jerky.
And buying an apron.
I know. And buying underwear.
Yes.
And buying t-shirts. I know.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so glad we can share joy in this.
Okay, here's my grind my gears. This is one that I'm calling customer service tomorrow. I'm just that mad about it. I'm so mad about it. I cannot stand when something is advertised for free. Then you get in there and you're like, and it's like, get started. And it's like, you fill out the form and you fill out all the information and you fill out the template and you go to hit publish or.
Oh, bless you.
Publish or print. And it says, before we can print your document, you need to buy a license or you need to buy a BBBP. That part's not free.
Right, right.
But the document's free, but the license isn't free.
Right.
Or the item is free, but you have, but by free, we mean free trial.
Right.
It's
right.
Free for the first 30 days. And then if you don't cancel it.
Well, that one's very common.
Oh, I'm so mad about it.
That
I think it's
very
such
common.
Bad business. I mean, it is like leaving the vacant car at that pump. Because I got tricked. I filled out the form. Da da da.
What was it for?
It was a lease. It was a midterm rental lease, and it was like a free template that you could fill out. You could make this lease. So I make the lease, and it says, "Oh, before you can print out your lease, you have to buy a license. You have to buy this short-term rental license that so that it's bound by law."
Sure.
And I'm like, what the heck? $49. So I'm like, fine, I'll pay the
$40. You're like, I literally
spent 20 minutes filling this thing out.
Right.
I'll pay the $49. Well, then I paid the $49 and put my card in. And the next thing was that I had to pay for something else.
That's not good.
And it was $39. And I was like, oh, I'm real mad. And so I backed out of it, canceled it, and I'm calling their customer service tomorrow because I'm getting my $49 back.
I support that. That grinds my gears.
Grinds my gears.
Listen, here's the thing about grinds my gears is this is a really uplifting, positive podcast. we don't really go down this dark path very much, but there are just sometimes we need to get it off our chest too,
grinds
just
my
like
gears.
The rest of the girl,
hey,
of
Matt,
the world.
Before we get too far in, let's talk about
food.
Okay, listen.
I wrote down something.
Tell it.
Did you know?
Oh.
Well, you do. But did you know, you out there in the world, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market carries our coffee.
Yes.
I love our coffee.
So much.
It's made with a family in Baltic Coffee Company, and we love our coffee.
Yes.
The link, if you would want to try it, is in our bio.
It's
You can also get it.
Is it in our show notes?
In our show notes is what I meant.
Okay, listen, I want to tell you something.
But you can get it at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, and it's so kind of them to carry our coffee with our little faces on it.
You can buy, they have a beautiful coffee section at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. You can buy our coffee there and not have to pay shipping. But let me tell you, if you're out of town and you want to go into the show notes and follow that link to Baltic Coffee Company and buy coffee, this is my recommendation. The shipping is a flat fee.
Yeah.
So if you're going to buy coffee, buy three bags or four bags. So it makes it worth the shipping.
That's right.
Shipping's flat fee wherever you are. But my recommendation is buy more than
one
bag.
Did you know this? Mallory's grandma, Emma Jenkins, she told me the other day she switched to just our coffee.
Emma full-time. Jenkins, if you are listening.
Thanks, Gigi.
Listen, that's what my kids call her. Is it?
It is, Gigi.
Listen, she makes some of the best cookies I've ever had.
Hey, this topic today, this came from something in real life. Let me tell you this. A couple of weeks ago.
Just so you know, I'm so excited for this. This is in our lane. This is a podcast in our lane.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to Skyline Guys. And Skyline Guys, we met at one of the guys' house, and he lives a couple doors down from his dad, who is our pastor.
Okay.
So he lives about four houses down.
Okay.
And so we're driving out of their neighborhood, and our pastor's sitting on the front porch.
Okay.
And it's sunny, but it's not that sunny.
Okay.
And he has on these glasses, and he's like, I was like, why is your dad looking like with those big old glasses? And he said, oh, my dad had a procedure today on his eyes. Whatever. And I was like, oh, didn't think about it.
Okay.
Sunday morning rolls around. About a good 3 days after, my pastor walks around before the service while the music's going. He greets people. He hugs people. And he has the glasses on. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm healing well. We're in the right path. And I was like, that's great. I'm glad that your surgery went well.
And so you're then literally talking to him, right?
Just me and him. Right.
You and him with these big glasses.
They're the big glasses that cover that the like sides. They're big. They're not big like peepers. They're big like the visor guys on Star Trek.
Yes, love it.
So I know that, and my friends know that, and I told my wife about that. So
About the eye surgery.
Yeah, about 5 minutes later, he gets on stage, and he gets right into it with the glasses
on. Just preaching his
service. Just the glasses.
And does he explain?
No. My phone started blowing up. A guy a couple rows in front of me that's a friend of mine was like, hey, is it like Ray Charles' birthday? what's going on?
What is with the glasses?
And I said, he had surgery and he's wearing the glasses because the lights are bright. Never preached a whole message. Did a whole thing like prayer, bringing people down front, like the
never
whole thing.
Never said anything.
And never said what. And you know what is the most endearing part about that is he doesn't care. Yeah. And I love that.
We don't have to be cool.
I love that. And I literally thought to myself, I told you that story and I was like, you know, he's not trying to be cool.
No.
He's not trying to impress anybody.
We don't have to be cool.
We don't have to be cool. So today, maybe you need to hear this. You don't have to be cool.
We don't have to be cool.
No.
Listen, I thought when I first started taking Instagram seriously, I thought in order to be relevant and influential and have a community of people, I thought I needed to look cool and have my makeup on and my hair done, and I just needed to be cool.
Yeah.
And when I started just being who I was and getting on with my hair slicked back and, you know, in my pajamas and literally no makeup, and that was when I feel like that was when my community started to really grow and people really started to connect with me because I wasn't trying to be cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I've talked about this here, but our family has a really deep affection for the show CBS Sunday Mornings, mostly because we're not cool. With Jane Pauley, do you know what this is?
Yes.
It's like these little vignettes.
Yes,
so it's like
I love it.
8 to 15 minutes of like slice of life reporting. And they did this whole series on like women above 50 that are changing the Instagram game, that are just living their life. And there's two. The one they interviewed was Babs, who cooks.
Yes. Yeah, she's great.
And then the second one was this older woman that just like brushes her hair and talks to you.
Oh, it's the sweet little lady.
She has like adopted kids.
Yes, and she's like more Victorian, very vintage linens.
Yeah. She has like white
hair. I follow her. I love her.
Yeah, she has a bunch of adopted kids that she talks about.
She says, darlings.
Yes. And they did this whole thing about how how popular they are because they are just being themselves.
Yes, yes.
And how great that
is. We don't need to be cool.
We don't need to be cool.
And you know, I think that.
But why do we think?
Well, I think social media and the online world is changing that.
Yeah.
Because I follow some people that are really not cool.
Yeah.
At all. I follow this one girl that makes these outrageous clothes. She is so uncool that she's cool. Like mm-hmm. she is so not cool. And I think what social media, part of what it's done for people who don't feel like they have a place with the athletes and the cool kids, it's given them the spot that mm-hmm. they can really just be who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to get trolls and hate and people saying rude things? Sure they are.
Sure.
But they're also going to gain people that are
well, listen, so do you.
When you mix
trail mix, people be mean.
People were so mean. People would send me pictures of piggies.
Why are you feeding your family pig slop?
That's not nice.
Well, here's the thing. The desire, because, you know, I did a little reading, the desire for coolness is not bad and it's not wrong. It's actually, you know, there's kind of two layers to it. The desire for coolness was an evolutionary thing, not evolution like, you know,
right.
evolution like as humans have like our
evolved,
our,
yes.
Yeah, like our physical primal desire to be part of the tribe, because that's a survival instinct that we have because we are, you know, human beings, is to be part of the tribe. You need to be accepted by the tribe.
Right.
So that you stay alive and the tribe feeds you.
Right, right.
That's
right,
kind of that right. physiological part, or I'm sorry, the evolutionary part. But the psychological needs are our social safety and our social, like, acceptance, which is probably is what we deal with more in modern society, is I want to be accepted by people. Like, I want to be part of a tribe. Mm-hmm. We all do. Mm-hmm. We want to be part of people that will love us and accept us. And I think sometimes when we look around at the people around us, we're like, well, I have to change to be like them so that I have a place to fit in and I'm not alone or I'm not, you know, rejected or that kind of thing. And so I think that fear of being excluded from social situations is like a negative motivator, because I think it causes us to change and look at what's normal and what's cool. Like, what is cool anyway? You know what I mean? And right. I think it makes those things like what is quote unquote normal and what is quote unquote cool. It's like groupthink. And yeah, I think yeah, when we buy into that, like, oh, this is groupthink and this is what I need to do to stay above social norms so that I have a place to fit in.
Well, I think also it starts really in the school setting. For me, when I really wheel back, it's like junior high school, wanting to fit in, mm-hmm. wanting to be part of the cool kids or part of a group or part of the people who seem to have influence, right?
Sure.
Now I do think it's changed some, where now you can be nerdy and celebrated.
Totally. Well, right? I think you brought this up, is the power of social media is it's allowed us to see groups of people that we can connect with that might not be in our physical space.
Listen, because trying to fit in and trying to be cool and trying to be somebody you're not, it's exhausting.
It is. It's, I don't want to do that. I'm too tired.
It's exhausting.
I'm too old for
that. And also, if there's something I can say within this that speaks to all of us, even if we're in our 50s and 60s, is there is a sense of fullness of life, of fulfillment, of goodness and who you are when you can be who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can be the person that you truly are, there is freedom in that. There sure. is a, I'm going to lay my head on the pillow tonight knowing that I am, today I was who I am.
Sure.
I was myself.
Sure. I think that the tension to be cool never really goes away. You know, I think it starts in school, but you know, as you go to high school, it reminds me of when people may try a cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not naming any names, but that's often maybe when people, you know, give into peer pressure and right. they're like, oh, that person does it. And they're,
but listen, there's peer pressure within Christian culture for adult women.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Then it goes to college mm-hmm. and then that brings a whole host mm-hmm. of problems. Mm-hmm. And I think we think we're in the clear, but the problems never really go away.
No,
because then it becomes your spouse and the marriage that you have and the one that you portray on social media, looking perfect, looking whatever. Then when you have kids, that turns into another right. thing where you start being like, my kids need to fit in with these kids and my kids need to be in this sport and my kids need to do that.
Right.
Then it's into like, you know, I don't care about this, but it's into cars, it's into jobs,
Matt, it's into homes. I've been at adult parties before where I feel pressured to have a drink when I don't want to drink.
Right.
Like, I don't have anything against drinking. Sometimes I do want to drink. Sometimes right. I actually want two drinks.
Right.
But sometimes I don't feel like having any alcohol. Sure. And I have been pressured by full-on adults like, oh, why aren't you, you know, have one, you know, everybody's drinking. I'm like, what are we, like 10th grade? I don't want one.
Right.
Like, so I do think there is an element of in adulthood where we can make people feel like they need to conform to
100%
whatever that party's doing, whatever that those people are doing, whatever's happening at that place.
Right.
It's interesting.
It's so, you know, I was just coming across on Instagram recently where the whole, and I'm not blaming anyone, but I will blame Chip and Joanna a little bit and HGTV.
Okay.
You know, everybody's house is looking white lately. Like the last 5 or 6
years. I literally just said to my nephew, Brody, we went to Columbus and back the other day, and I just said to him, there are some houses that are not meant for white board and batten.
That's true.
Batten board, whatever so that's true. Called. There's some houses, there's some ranch style brick houses that are not meant to be white and black. Leave the orange brick alone.
Agree. I totally agree. And I think that's a manifestation of that. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, this is what a house is supposed to look like. You know, I'll always tell this story for me and Mallory is when we moved into this home, we moved from an apartment on your property. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget the feeling of, I said it out loud. I will never forget the feeling of sleeping in this home for the very first
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we lived in a mansion.
Yes.
I was like,
it's your home.
My word, this place is incredible.
Yes.
And then people come along with bigger houses and fancier cars and you're like, okay, well, maybe that's not so bad.
Right.
Should I have that?
Yeah, maybe
should I want that?
Maybe I should have a bigger house.
Yeah. Is it a problem that I don't want it?
This happened to me recently. Recently this happened. I was at a beautiful home that had a beautiful main floor, like the main floor of the home, and they had a beautiful big great room, a beautiful big kitchen with a butler's pantry. It was beautiful. And it was a new build. And right there out loud at that house, I said to Daryl out loud, oh, maybe I am changing my mind about wanting another house because I love hospitality so much. And I love having people over. But I also love my little house. So it is it in the so the want to, I think when your want to comes from a place of feeling inspired mm-hmm. is different than wanting to fit in.
Sure.
Like, so for 100%. Me, I'm not wanting to build another house to be like the people's house I was in.
Wait, you're serious about this? We've never talked about this off the podcast. Are you building a house?
No.
But you're thinking about it.
No. Well, here's why. Wait, I'm not done with the story. I wasn't having those feelings because I wanted to be part of the cool kids, or I wanted
it wasn't
to
comparative.
Be. I wasn't wanting to compare. Yeah. Wanted to be like them.
Right. Right.
It was truly because I witnessed what was going on, and they were having this big get together with lots of people. I couldn't have that many people at my house.
Right. Right.
In fact, I'm gonna have a big get together at my house, and we're gonna have to have part of it outside and part of it inside. So Lord willing, it doesn't rain.
Right.
Because I won't be able to fit everybody in my house. It just isn't. It isn't possible.
Sure.
So what we did instead is I came home and I said, what can we do to reimagine our house? What can we do to feel like we have more space to entertain when we go to entertain.
Right.
So we started, we had talked about it before, but it happened after we were at this house. It happened after that because it pains me if people come into town and they have to book a room at a bed and breakfast or a hotel because I want them to stay with us.
Right.
So we are putting a bedroom and a bathroom in our basement, and it's just going to allow us to, we are creating the home that will allow us to entertain the way we'd like.
And I think the important part of that story is the motivator for doing that wasn't the pressure of a friend being like, look at my house, blah, blah, blah. You didn't come home. And that is not the
I was inspired.
And so, you know, I think part of it is, what's that motivator? You know, if you are someone that you're like, oh, I kind of struggle with this, or I feel like it, you know, I think a great exercise is when you make choices about your life or about your family or about what car you drive or even clothes you wear, like, ask yourself, why am I choosing this?
Right.
Is it because it's something I love I'm interested in, or is it because I feel like I need to do something because of someone else?
A good example of somebody that just marches to the beat of their own drum and that has really been a good model for me in this is my husband.
Sure.
My husband.
He is not cool. And I love that about him.
I mean, my husband said the other day, I've never heard him utter these words, I think I'm going to go to Walmart and buy me some shorts.
Shorts?
Shorts. Daryl has never worked in shorts in his entire career.
No.
As a woodworker. He went and bought himself 2 pair of Wrangler and 2 pair of, I think, Nike, that are the Nike ones that are nicer that you'd wear for work.
He
bought these shorts to wear to work because it's so hot and they're going to places like Florida to work. I mean, it's so hot, but
Florida.
But the reason he didn't do it before, I realized this, he didn't tell me, but I know it's true, is he owned Miller Trim. He owned part of Miller Trim, and he worked with predominantly Amish people.
Amish, yeah, sure.
So now the guy he works with, Mike, he's sporting shorts. And so Daryl's like, well, why am I not wearing shorts?
Yeah.
And he's wearing shorts. But let me just tell you, my husband is a wonderful, he is a man's man. Our children used to say my dad's a worker man.
Yeah.
He is a worker man. But when I tell you that he does not look cool in those Wrangler shorts with his little white ankle socks with his little work shoes, he does not look cool.
And he doesn't care.
And he does not care one bit.
That's
which
right.
In turn, I find kind of hot. Like, I find that attractive. I find it like, you know what? He don't even care.
That's in my notes. Here's the thing. It's such a mind shift when you start thinking like, to be cool, stop trying to be cool is what makes you cool.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden everybody's like, your pastor, I mean, that is a power move.
Yeah.
That is cool. To get up there and do your whole service and your whole thing in front of several hundred people and not say one word about why you have oversized film glasses on is a move.
It is a move. And you know, I think it's so interesting because it's the opposite of what you think. When you start living in your authentic self, here's what the research is showing, because this is what I read up, is it helps your mental health first and foremost.
I believe that. I have written down that when we try to be cool and we try to fit in and it's not us, it's mentally and emotionally unhealthy.
100. Here's what it is. Here's what it is for me. Because for you to fit in with whatever you're trying to fit in with, the steps that it takes to get you to do what you think you should be doing is exhausting. Here's what this looks like.
Yes.
Before you do anything, it's who do I want to love me? So you're looking around, you're like, okay, do I want to be with those people or those people?
What are they going to think? What are they going to think?
Then it's, oh, what do I need to do? So you're picking up on cues. You're picking up on what they're wearing and what they're buying and what they're saying and what they're doing. And then you're using your resources to sometimes get and buy and do and say and drive things that you don't even like to fit in with people that may not even like you in the end.
Yeah.
So it's so much more freeing to spend that energy on learning what you like. I mean, this is our podcast with Emily 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Learning who you are.
Knowing who you are.
Knowing who you are. knowing what you like and discovering yourself so that you can create and construct a life that is authentically yes. you. And then here's what I think and what I found. You become a magnet for other people.
Yes. And listen, if you don't know who you are and you say, well, I don't even know how to answer that question because I don't really even know, because I've been a people pleaser for so many years and been who people wanted me to be, go get therapy.
Yeah. Hey, I have a really interesting study. Really interesting study. So there's this study done with people. It was done with college kids where they had a lecturer in a college. They had one lecturer wear red sneakers with a suit and one lecturer wear normal shoes with a suit. And the perception of the person who was in himself, it's called the red sneaker effect, actually. It showed that the people... he was perceived more positively.
Wait, the guy in the red sneakers?
The guy in the red sneakers was perceived more positively by people. And his nonconformity to the norms mm-hmm. looked as though mm-hmm. it was deliberate mm-hmm. and not accidental. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes for us, when we are intentional about being ourselves and we do something like that where you're like, this is what I want to do mm-hmm. and this is who I want to be.
Exactly.
Like, I know we joke about this. So I'm very well aware, but my office at school right now has some really intentional Disney things for mm-hmm. me
right.
that I love, that bring me joy, remind me of my kids having a good time and just are happy for me. And I think when you find those things, right. those little quirky mm-hmm. quirks about you that you love mm-hmm. and you just live them, yeah. you know, you're just yourself.
Listen, you know who started this for us, like out in the, like before social media? Who really just led the charge for us all is Birkenstocks and Crocs.
Yeah.
If you're sure. listening. Because they are not cool.
No.
They are not cool shoes.
No.
But somehow they've been made cool.
It's true.
They're non-coolness.
My son got white Crocs. What?
Yes. I mean, and listen, those shoes are not what I would call super attractive and super cool. In fact, when they went out of style, mm-hmm. when Birkenstocks kind of went out of style, Crocs went out of style, they were considered not cool until somebody started wearing them.
With like athletes brought yeah, Crocs
maybe,
back.
Maybe, I don't know. But I love when somebody even in the marketplace like Crocs or Birkenstocks take this like ugly little thing and they're like, we're going to make this part of the fabric of,
right.
of new, of right. different.
Here's the other thing I think. I think when you are authentically yourself, what it does, I think it changes something in your brain mm-hmm. where it signals mm-hmm. your autonomy.
Yeah.
Where it's what it does is it's saying, hey, I am myself. I am in charge of myself. I am mm-hmm. in control of yes. my happiness. And it doesn't depend on the people around mm-hmm. me. And I think there's something really powerful about that. And here's what happens, I think, and I know. I know when we lean into our authenticity and I know when we lean into our weirdness, we stop trying to be like everybody else and we stop trying to be cool. People notice mm-hmm. and we get different outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what those outcomes could be is you might attract a different person yes. in friendship.
New friends. Yes.
You might change the dynamic in your home into something hopefully more peaceful
yes.
instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses or do what you think people want you to do. Or maybe even in a workplace setting, you start inspiring the team around you to maybe look at something a little differently. You know, when you stop being the yes man and you start speaking up
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
when you stop, whatever, you start adding more creative ideas to the team or you start speaking up more and right. your boss goes, oh, right. there's something different about them. They changed. I think some of those things can be fueled by us changing physical things in our life too. So if there's things that you love that you've put on the back burner that you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Nobody's really wearing that right now. Nobody's really doing that right now. Bring it out. If it's right. you, if it's connected right. to you, if it's exciting for you, if it's an interest of yours, bring it out. Because I think number one, you're going to free up a lot of space in your head of thinking about other things that you don't really like mm-hmm. when you're starting to think about mm-hmm. the things you do like. And I think number two, when you bring those things out, you are paving the way for authenticity and vulnerability for the people around you, for them to go, hey, I like that.
Yeah.
I remember I liked that.
Yeah, you're,
or
yes.
I want to find the things that I like too.
You're modeling that also to your children.
Absolutely.
So good.
Absolutely.
That's so good.
Man, this is a great, I got a little excited about this
wrap,
one.
Matt. You gotta wrap.
Hey, thank you for joining us in this conversation all about authenticity. You know, maybe you have a pair of Crocs in the back of your closet that you need to pull
cool.
out.
We don't need to be
cool. You don't
cool.
need to be cool.
We don't need to be cool.
Ain't nobody need you to be cool, but you know what we need you to be? We need you to be yourself.
What a guy. What a girl.
Be yourself. Because being yourself is what's going to ultimately give you freedom and bring mm-hmm. people into your circle mm-hmm. that you've been wanting. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about authenticity and stop being cool. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.